Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
There are big sins and there are little sins. Now, listen to me. Don't drive me out of here. All sin leads to death. The Bible's very clear that. All sin deserves punishment and death. But there are sins that are bigger than other sins. That's why the Bible calls some sins an abomination and some sins are not. That's why the Bible shows us that there are greater punishments for some sins than there are others. So there is a balancing scale there. There are big and little sins out there, even though they all lead to death. They're all sins, but they are big and little sins. And some people say, well, Brother Byron, give me verse and chapter for that right there, because I don't believe it. Because I heard some famous preacher on TV saying, well, there is no big or little sin, friends. We're all sinners, and there's no big or little sin. Listen to me. Let me give you this these chapters and verses. Matthew 11 and 20, you'll find Jesus, he's teaching some very powerful messages here. Matthew 11 and 20, it says, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now listen, here he's talking about Jesus, and he's speaking to different places where he's been the most. During his earthly ministry, he went to several places, but he presided in several places that the most, and did the most miracles, did the most healings, did the most teaching and preaching and all this, the most in. And listen to what he said to him in verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Now look at verse 23. And thou Capernaum, which by the way was where the Lord's headquarters were. That's where his earthly headquarters was. He was born in Bethlehem, we know, and he raised up in Nazareth, we know that. But when he began his earthly ministry, his headquarters were really stationed in Capernaum. That was the central focus point of where he would stay at. And then he would go out to other regions. But Capernaum, he mentions them, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. You see, Jesus had spent so much time in these cities and gave such proof that he was their Messiah and that they needed to repent, but yet they did not repent. They still did not treat him as their Messiah. And Jesus said, you know what? If I'd have done this same thing in the land of Sodom, you know what? They wouldn't have been destroyed. You know, if I'd done the same thing in Sodom, you know what? It wouldn't have been as bad for them. It'd been just the same for them. But you know what? I've been here doing this in your city. It's going to be worse for you than it was for Sodom because you witnessed it personally. And so there are different degrees of punishment. There's different levels of sin. There's greater punishments done depending on the works. Is that not good enough for you? How about in Revelation 20 and 12? As those that are not saved stand before the great white throne judgment. And as they stand there, the Bible says this. Listen, Revelation 20 and 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. If all sin was equally punished, if all sin was the same on the same level and same scale, if there were no big or little sins, why the books to be judged out of? Why would men need to be individually judged for their works? It's individual judgment. It's not nation judgment right here. It's an individual judgment. Every man is judged for his works. So if everything was on an equal playing field and no big or little sin, there could have been just one judgment. Everybody's going burning the lake of fire. That's it. You're done. But no, everybody will stand there and the works that they did personally will be judged. And according to that judgment is their level of punishment in their eternal lake of fire. Now, how does that work? I don't know. The Bible doesn't go into detail. Maybe one place is not as bad as others. Maybe there's less serial killers where you're going to go. I don't know. But your punishment will not be as great as some of the other punishment for these other people that's punished for the things they've done. So when we consider the text that we've read, Jesus teaching concerning the mote and the beam here, if we consider what Jesus is teaching, then what do we say? Well, I'd say we got an I-beam problem. You know, I recently, and this came back into the news because a year had passed by, and if this offends you, you're going to be offended. I'm just sorry. The Women's March. Now listen, I'm all for women having rights. I'm nothing against women's rights. But this Women's March thing that's going on, of course it started, you know, when the president got in office and all this. But this past year, and even here, just this last month, they marched in downtown Knoxville, the so-called Women's March. And it's a big movement of women that get together, and they march because, listen to their goal. This is their goal from their website, what they say. Our goal is the protection of our rights, our safety, our health, and our families. Recognizing that our vibrant and diverse communities are the strength of our country. Well, that's some goal, isn't it? And it sounds like a very nice goal. It sounds very reasonable to me. But these same women that are marching for their so-called rights for safety, health, and families are the same women that's calling for the murder of unborn babies in the mother's womb. These are the same women. And so while they claim to be marching for rights for health and families, they're actually doing the opposite, as they want more babies murdered in the womb. Well, did you know that the number of abortions in the United States has just crept over the 60 million mark? Since 1973, the number of abortions in the United States of America, which legal abortions, has just went over the 60 million mark. Soon approach 70 million babies. In the place where babies are supposed to be the safest in all the world, inside of its own mother's womb, is the most dangerous place on earth for babies today. So until we ban abortion, until we stand up and fight for the rights of human life that is the most vulnerable, that is the ones that cannot speak for themselves, cannot march for themselves, then don't ever tell me about your rights. Until we stand for the rights of the unborn, don't ever try to tell me about your rights. So some women say, well, you're trampling on my rights. It's a legal right for me to do that. The United States, they made it legal in 1973, and it's my right, and there's nothing wrong with it. Well, what does the Bible say? I want you to know the Bible says it's wrong. God says you're murdering your own babies. And listen, I've been warned already. Don't ever preach about abortion, because there'll be somebody in your congregation that's had an abortion. Don't ever do it, because you'll offend them. You'll make them mad and all this. And I understand that. And I know there are people. I've preached before where people that I know has had an abortion, people that's done that. And let me say this. And I'm going to say this as lovingly as I can. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. We've all committed sin. We've all done things in our lives that the Bible calls sin. Some of these things are considered legal. Some of them are considered rights today in the United States of America. But in the eyes of God, they're still sins. And they're still wrong. The day that a man of God that claims to be called of God to preach the Word of God, the day that he stands up and does not preach the full counsel of the Word of God, is the day he needs to resign. It's the day he needs to be run out on a rail. He needs to give up his ordination papers and stop preaching. And I know it would be very easy to stand up and only tell all the good stuff about the Lord. Talk about his love, his kindness, his mercy, his goodness. And I love preaching about that. But we also have to know what the Lord says about sin. He hates sin. Sin separates us. And listen, if you are one of these women that has had an abortion, the Bible tells us that we can be forgiven of all sin. All sin. There's nothing that you've done so bad on this earth that you cannot be forgiven for. The only sin that is unforgivable is the sin of rejecting Christ as your Savior. The rest of it you can be forgiven for. So if you are one of these people, I'm not here to judge you, to condemn you. I'm telling you what the Bible says. And the Bible says it's a sin, and you can be forgiven of that. I can be forgiven of the sins that I've committed in my life. And you can be forgiven for your sins. But back to our I-beam problem. What do we do about the I-beam problem? Well, Jesus gives us a solution. If you want to look at there in verse 5, he says this. He says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." He uses a very powerful and strong word there, that word hypocrite. We still use that word today. A lot of people use it about church people. There ain't nothing down there at that church but a bunch of hypocrites, I hear it. You know, bunch of hypocrites down there. Well, that word hypocrite comes from a Greek word, hypokrites. It means an actor under an assumed character, a stage player, a dissembler is what that word means. In other words, it's somebody that claims to be something, but they're not. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. Yeah. A hypocrite. I'm not really a doctor. So it's clear that when we search out other people's problems without looking inside of our own problems, the Lord says that we are a hypocrite. We're a hypocrite. We're a stage player. We're a dissembler. So what do we do about it? Well, fortunately, he tells us. He says the first thing we need to do is what? First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye. So the first thing we got to do is go take a hard look at ourselves in the mirror. We got to say to ourselves, self, what problem do you have in your life? What's the sin that's dragging you down? What sin is causing you not to be walking with God the way you should? What sin is in your life that you're not walking in God's will? And when we find that sin, what's Jesus said? He said, cast that thing out. Cast it out. I'm done with that sin. I'm repenting of that sin. Lord God in heaven, forgive me of my sin. The Bible says all we got to do is ask and he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so simply all you need to do is repent of that sin. But first we got to do that. We got to look inside of us. Stop looking at everybody else's problems and all their sins. And if you notice, by the way, he's talking about somebody with a very small problem. Again, we're going back to the big and little sins, a very small problem. And we're focusing on that somebody that's got this little bitty thing going on in their life while we've got this huge problem in our own life. Hey, it's like me going to the supper table and getting on to somebody for getting too much on their plate, you know. You better quit eating like that. You're going to get fat. Yeah, it'd be me being a hypocrite, you know, while I've got 12 pieces of chicken on my plate and they got six, you know. But we've got to start looking at our own problems. And then when we get all the sin out of our life and we've got this thing cleaned up and we're a willing and working vessel for the Lord, you know what? I really don't think we're going to be dwelling too much on other people at that point. But if we can, if we're cleaned up, we've got all of our sin repented of and we're okay. And then we can help. He says we can help out our brother. He says then we can see clearly. Notice that right there. If when we get the sin out of our life, then we can see clearly. See, our vision is clouded. As long as we have sin, we can't see the right way. And so we're focusing on everybody else, but our focus, have you ever looked through something that's hazy? Maybe in the fog, you ever drove in the fog and you can't see anything and you're going down the road like this and you put your light beams on high and they tell you not to, put them on dim, but you do it anyway, thinking you'll see better.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.
Shout!